Our text for this morning as we continue in the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark, the second Gospel, is chapter 8, verse 14 through 21. Mark 8, 14 through 21. Let's once again ask God to bless the reading, exposition, and application of His Word. Father, we're again mindful of our great need of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who inspired your infallible, inerrant word. It is He who must both illumine us to understand it and give us the grace and power to apply it to our hearts and to our lives so that the Word of God not only informs us but transforms us. And so we pray that He would come now and He would apply your word to both the one who speaks it and those who hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear God's word again, Mark 8, 14 through 21. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then He charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It's because we have no bread." But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" They said to Him, 12. "Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said, 7. So He said to them, "How is it you do not understand?" Well, when Jesus said those words to the disciples, they thought that He was referring to literal bread. Leaven is, of course, the yeast that is put into bread to make it rise. And He said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod," and they thought He was talking about regular bread and regular yeast, but He wasn't. But still, the question arises in our minds then, well, what is it? What is this leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod? And this gives us a perfect example of the principle of Scripture interpreting Scripture. In other words, when something is unclear in one place in the Bible, the first place we turn to gain greater clarity and understanding about it is another place in the Bible. And so, the Lord Jesus in Luke 12, verse 1, defines this leaven for us. He says there, "In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, He began to say to His disciples, first of all, 'Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy.'" So there He tells us what the leaven is. And in Matthew's parallel account of this same conversation between Jesus and His disciples in the boat, we get a little more light. We have another passage of Scripture that sheds light on our passage in Mark. In Matthew 16:12, we read, "Then they understood that He did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So there is a spiritual threat to the disciples, which makes Jesus warn them. Jesus is warning his disciples about a spiritual threat they are facing, and he likens it to the leaven that goes into bread, the yeast that makes bread rise. Let's look a little bit closer at that threat. And from Jesus' definitions and explanations in the three Gospels, we discern three sources or three kinds of this hypocritical spiritual leaven. And I'm going to call them: one, doctored up doctrine; two, watered down doctrine; and three, doctrine abused. Herod's kind of leaven is the doctored up doctrine. You know that the Herods were that line of kings that we meet with in various places in the New Testament. They had a religion that changed according to their desire to remain in power, their determination to be unopposed in their rule, in their adulterous desires affected what they believed and practiced, and according to how much they could stay friends with the Romans who were over them. And woe to anyone like those poor infants in and around Bethlehem, or John the Baptizer, who got in the way of the Herods. They changed their religion, their doctrine, their beliefs to suit their own agenda. Beware of that kind of leaven. The Sadducees were the ones who had the watered-down doctrine. They had a form of godliness, but denied the divine power and bedrock truth of it. Back then, as you know, they were the ones who said, there's no resurrection, there's no angel, there's no spirit. We could illustrate that today by those who will say, oh, they're too enlightened to believe that God created the world in 6 days. And people that say, you don't need all that supernatural, mysterious, unbelievable stuff. Just follow Jesus' moral teachings and you'll be fine. That's the watered-down doctrine. It has the form of godliness but denies the power of it. And then we have the hypocritical leaven, the doctrine of the Pharisees, who abused God's truth. They tried to use the law of God for a purpose that God never intended, namely to justify oneself before him, to establish a self-righteousness instead of receiving from God the gift of righteousness through Christ. They hypocritically abused the doctrine of God, as in the case of Corban. Remember that? Where they said, well, what you would have gotten from me, my parents, is Corban. It's given to God. They hypocritically nullified the law of God for the sake of their tradition. Meanwhile, they weren't even really keeping the law themselves. So Jesus sees this threat, this leaven that the disciples need to beware of. Consider the context of our passage. If you just go back to verse 11, just before this conversation that Jesus and his disciples are having in the boat, he has an encounter with those very Pharisees. And we see there another sighing. Last week, Jesus sighed as he identified with that deaf man. Well, here's another kind of sighing. He's sighing just in unbelief or consternation at their unbelief. He's sighing at their hardness of heart. They're asking for signs, but they had seen signs. They had heard him speak, but because of the leaven with which they were already leavened, all they could do was dispute with Jesus and seek more signs. And he sighed. And then he went with his disciples, gets into the boat. And no doubt with that conversation in mind, that encounter with the Pharisees was fresh in Christ's minds, and that in Christ's mind, and that's why he said these words to them: beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. Beware of the leaven of the Sadducees. Beware of these ways in which doctrine is going to be abused and watered down and twisted to fit some agenda. He wants them to understand this about purity of doctrine, of teaching, of orthodox theology, as we call it, as well as of right practice. Here's a good word you can learn: theopraxy, the right practice. Not only the right knowledge, but the right way of living. Like love and marriage, they go together like a horse and carriage. But now let's move on and ask and answer the question: why do the disciples need this warning? Well, we just sang a hymn. The line was, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it." Those words express a biblical truth. And I want to take us on a little trip to the dentist's office to illustrate it. You're there to get a cleaning. You're going to get a deep cleaning of your teeth. What is being cleaned off of your teeth? Encrusted, yellow, ugly plaque. Why does plaque accumulate? It's because we don't brush and we don't floss as we should. Sin is not only like leaven, that leavens a lump of dough, it's like that plaque. And unless we spiritually brush and floss frequently with God's means of grace, that is prayer, the word of God and his sacraments, the fellowship of God's people, where one man sharpens another as iron sharpens iron. Unless we do those things, it's going to put a hard shell on our souls. We're prone to wander, prone to be hardened. When he was at Rome, we read at the end of the book of Acts, Paul reminded the Jews to whom he witnessed of God's word through Isaiah. Isaiah said, under the power of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing." Think of who he was talking to. He was speaking to the descendants of the covenant people of God, who, having been brought out of Egypt by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm, had seen God part the Red Sea. They had seen God raise up judges to deliver them again and again. They had seen revivals that took place during the days of the kings of Israel and Judah. And yet Paul is speaking to their descendants, saying, telling them that they've become hard of heart. They can't see. They can't understand. Let me ask you a challenging question. Why should we consider ourselves exempt from this tendency to wander and become hardened, especially when we find an apostle saying things like this from Romans 7? Paul says, "I delight in the law of God according to my inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." He sees a turmoil, a conflict within himself. On the one hand, he wants to obey God, but he sees within him a principle, something that's making him disobey. Paul couldn't delight in the law of God and his inward man unless he was a true born-again believer. Why? Because the fleshly mind cannot delight in the law of God. And that's what he says. In my inward man, that the born-again Paul delights in the law of God. He doesn't despise it. He doesn't twist it. But he delights in it. Yet as a genuine Christian disciple, he found this warfare within himself. The tendency toward dullness and hardness was something against which he ever had to strive, and against which every disciple must strive throughout earthly life. Why should we consider ourselves exempt from this tendency to dullness and hardness? Why should we think we can ignore this warning that Jesus gave to his disciples in that boat ride across Galilee when we read this in another place? Paul to the Corinthians, "I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." The danger is there for us as well. We need this warning. Beware of that leaven. Beware of that tendency to become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. More context illustrates this need. Consider the conversation in the boat is after the feeding of the 4,000, as Jesus points out, which is after the feeding of the 5,000. These are the things that they had seen, Jesus taking real bread and feeding thousands with it. Their forgetfulness is staggering. And so we should not think that we might not be as forgetful and hardened as they were. But let's talk about the biblical remedy for this. How can we beware? What do we do to fight against this leaven, this hardness? I give you Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Well, we have an opportunity this very day to fulfill that scripture. Today, as was announced, we have a coffee hour here at New Life. This is an opportunity for brothers and sisters in Christ to converse one with another. Will we heed what God tells us expressly in his word? Exhort one another daily. What will be the substance of the conversation that we will have in just minutes? Small talk is okay if it grows into big talk. Speaking about matters of kingdom importance, sharing the word of God, building one another up, encouraging one another. It's not easy. It doesn't come to that natural mind, but it is commanded by God. This is God's very practical instruction to you and to me as to how we can fight against that leaven. Fight against that hardening. If not now, when? If not at our times gathered together as a congregation, where? Secondly, in addition to the exhortation of one another, righteous judgment starting with self. Last Lord's Day for communion, as we do each time we have the Lord's Supper, we read the scripture that says, "Let a man examine himself." In the 139th Psalm, we read these powerful words, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The world says, don't think too hard about what you do. The world says, don't judge anybody. But God says, exhort one another. And he says, examine yourself. We've talked a little bit about exhortation. What about this judgment? By what standard? How do we do it? Here's two sayings of Jesus on judgment. This is one that the world overlooks. They always talk about where he said, don't judge. But this is also what Jesus said about judgment. It's in John 7, verse 24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Jesus commands us there to judge. So we're commanded to exhort one another. We're commanded to judge righteously, beginning with ourselves. The other verse is the most familiar one, four or five verses from Matthew 7. Judge not, that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you used, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Not all judgment is wrong, only hypocritical judgment. And that brings us right back to that hypocritical leaven that is always a threat and our own tendency to let it in and harden us. But take heart. Take heart. Though we are prone to wander, though we feel it in ourselves as Paul did, though that leaven is something of which we must ever be wary, and though we are in a constant battle against the deceitful, hardening power of sin, all that's true, but we serve the God of patience. The God of patience. Nehemiah proclaimed it just like the martyr Stephen did when Nehemiah was recounting the long, sad history of Israel. He said, yet for many years you had patience with them and testified against them by your spirit in your prophets. The Lord God constantly being patient with his people, testifying to them, exhorting them, calling them back to himself, warning them against being hardened. And likewise, God incarnate is not here in our passage in Mark clubbing the disciples over the head, but he's patiently making them think about these things. He gently questions them. How can you not understand? Just look at what you've seen. How do you not understand? He continues with them in the boat. Though, as we've seen from the account of his miraculous deeds, he could have easily just stepped right out of that boat in disgust at their lack of understanding and just walked away on the waves. But as Peter wrote later, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How many times have you gone to the store for groceries, come home, and immediately remembered that one thing you forgot to pick up? Maybe milk, maybe a box of salt, because it's something you only buy about once every 2 years. Maybe a loaf of bread, because you buy it so frequently. They're forgetting to take real bread, literal bread, for their journey was excusable. But Jesus wants them to see their inexcusable forgetfulness, namely their forgetting his all-sufficiency. And until we enter into a settled persuasion of that our God is all-sufficient, that the Lord is able to supply all our needs, and that he will do so as we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Until we come to that place, we remain incomplete in our understanding. It was true. They didn't have bread on account of their excusable forgetfulness. No matter. They had Jesus with them in the boat, the one who had fed thousands with a few loaves. It might be that you are in the same boat, pun intended, seeing needs throughout your life. You have no bread. You have no job. You have no this. You have no that. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ, even though those needs are real, there is no need to worry over them. Abraham had a promise from God about his descendants being like the stars for their multitude. Yet he could see no way that was going to happen. But El Shaddai, God Almighty, God All-Sufficient, was his shield and his exceeding great reward. And God made good on his promise to Abraham, the father of nations, the father of multitudes, the father of all those who are of a like faith. So there's no place for worry. So let us not be hardened, but take heed and be wary of all those forms of leaven, real spiritual threats. Let us not be without understanding and forgetful of who he is, the one who is with us in the little boats of our lives. But let us be knowing and trusting our great Lord of the waves. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus has warned us of the spiritual dangers of being hardened through the various kinds of leaven that is out there, the doctrine and hypocrisy that we see in the Sadducees, Herod, the Pharisees. Lord, you have warned us of these things. May we take heed. May we be diligent to examine ourselves, to make righteous judgment, to exhort one another. Father, may we seek with all that is within us to strive against that hardening, and may we never forget that the one who is with us is all sufficient. And though we may not have this or that, having him, we have all that we need. And so, Father, seal your word to our hearts, we pray, in his holy name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Our concluding hymn, our concluding psalm,